word on this? Okay, I'll do it, okay, if nobody will.
Okay, perfect.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for today, for Kay, for all of us that gather in this room. Please, Lord, help put our distractions aside. I'm, like, so distracted. I'm sure there's some other people who probably feel that, too, being summer and travel and kids and all that. So I just pray that you would be big here and these other things would be small here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. I am with you. I'm distracted. Yeah, it's funny because I was walking this morning and I was like, I'm not okay. Like, oh no, I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that I mean, and it feels like, I don't know. I know it, and I know that because I sit there in my head going, let the not okay be okay. And am I grieved about something? You know, just kind of ticking through why, what is it? What am I believing? Yeah, because I turned the corner and I'm like, what am I believing that's not true? And then going, I don't know. It's sort of like I'm too tired to even go there. So that I don't know. May the Lord go before today. And can we be honest enough with each other to go, I'm not okay? Yeah, and it's that distracted. Wow. I had so many, like, I signed up to be the invitation person on an event, which I don't have margin right now. I feel like I know better, but I think I want to have margin because I want to be like me. And I'm good at invitations. They're not a big deal. Tracy. Yeah, Tracy's on that list. So it started with a typo on the invitation. I didn't really care. I was like, who that cares? Then it started on the reminder where, for whatever reason, I thought the 29th is the 23rd. I don't want my problem. So I sent a reminder out to everyone that the party's on the 29th. Can't wait to see you. And then I start getting emails. It's the 29th. And I'm like, no, no, no. So then I sent out another reminder that says in bold, correction. What did I put, Tracy? Something like urgent or correction. It is. This party is July 23rd. I'm like,
oh no.
And then someone texted me last night, right before I'm going to bed, with K exclamation, And I don't know why, except that's where I go, I'm not okay. Because it landed and I tanked. And I'm like, in my head, I'm going, that was never intended that way. What are you doing? Why are you, what is that? And I'm like, I mean, I'm telling you, I was looking for the ground and breathing. And that's where I was like, I forget that it's like that I am okay. But the okayness has to be so cocooned in the eternal okay. And because the eternal okay keeps me bounded when my okayness is super, super shallow. Doesn't take much. It doesn't take a bad look. Oh, I'm telling you, don't be in my way right now. I'm done.
We all start.
Yeah, go away from me. My way is ugly right now. That's it. And then that's the last thing. I'm walking this morning in Nitty. I love when I get to see hearts in certain places. They show up like in a tree, on a leaf or whatever. And I wish I could put it up there. Nitty stops and there's this drop, like a water something. There's no water on the sidewalk at all, except for this one splash of water that is a perfect heart.
Oh.
And I was like, thank you for that, because God is so good, right? God is so good. He goes before, he knows. And that's one thing about this beautiful passage in John. Our Savior is explaining, trying to walk through, arguably, the hardest to conceive and the hardest to receive and the hardest to comprehend reality that God lives in you. And the essence of the Spirit and why he was going. And he's just gently explaining and explaining and explaining as he's doing test tube. And I am convinced this one's a lifelong on this planet. When I was hit by love, I went instantly to 1 Corinthians 13, landed at the end where we sit and go, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith and hope are gone when you see him. They're gone. And so we get to experience, know that love through faith and hope. And it must be pretty special. He gave a lot for that. It's like experiencing knowing him because the Spirit of God is him. It's his inside self. So that's where we're going to go. John 15, I think, or 14. All of those verses are great. At the end of this, I mean, chapters. What chapter isn't great? And at the end of this lesson, he says, complete the picture by reading all of John 13 through 17. You know, it's worth the time. All right, my glasses are right here. And so moral of the story is, stay out of my way. You don't want to be next to me. I'm error laden. And it's quite likely I have no idea what I'm talking about. And may the Lord go before. May his spirit reveal to us. Father, let this be a thin place this morning. Our normal days are filled with a gnat-like cloud of details. Most of them are about as important as gnats. Take care of this, see to that. We talk about mundane things as life chugs along in its ordinary routine. Then a crisis hits, and suddenly there's no luxury of time for inconsequential chatter. We forget insignificant details and talk about what's vital to us. That was the situation of Jesus and his disciples the night before Jesus was crucified. At their final meal together, they talked far into the night about the most important issues. Okay, even in this, can we pause and just say, this was not a crisis for Jesus. This was no crisis for him. This was the plan. He knew. He was aware. He wasn't afraid. He is Jehovah's Sabbath. Everything seen and unseen bows to him. We got to see it as he walked the planet. The unseen spoke to him saying, what are you doing here, son of man? It is not your time. There's nothing outside of his authority. There's nothing outside of his knowledge. There's nothing outside of his doing. There's absolutely nothing outside of his love, which is why he's doing this. Because those people he's dining with, let me tell you, he loves them. And see also Psalm 23. You're watching it play out. I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. At his table, they don't sit like in chairs here. They sit on the floor reclining. Everybody, what's messing with you? Whatever it is reclining at the table in the presence of your Father, your Savior, who has prepared that table and is an authority over it, because everyone's reclining. Okay? Put it at the table, whatever it is, okay? So that when these crises hit, which apparently mine was dinky, again, it could be some kid looking at me wrong. Or a total that could send me south. It could be myself very easily that sends me south, you know? And it's sort of like, no, I'm going to stay in the cocoon of the presence at the table, which he has prepared for me, today's manna. That's perfect provision. No matter what, it's perfect provision for you. It's perfect provision for me. And it's the same thing that we're eating. I don't get it. But they did it for 40 years in the desert. Every age, every gluten intolerance, every I hate fried chicken, you know, what taste, whatever. We can grumble, but it's sustenance and it's perfect because he can't not be that way because his name is Jehovah Jireh. I love these things because he can't not be himself. Okay, so he knows as this crisis, which is big, and it's so much bigger than what any of them could have seen, because he's doing it. It is at the end of this, he will say it is finished. It's big. Everybody's known about it since Let There Be Light was spoken. I mean, the faith and hope part of our relationship with God is so cool, because the fact that you get to know him without seeing him, I can't fathom. I don't even know what I'm thinking, and it's my soul. Do you know what I mean? I'll be like, wow, I didn't know that was there. It's the essence of his being. It's in you. So you can know the goodness. And the goodness is significant. All right. Reflect. Complete the sentence. I think God would be more real to me if. And please, if your gut reaction is, if he would pause and put, if I would like that. Because whatever your he would is, he is that. He's done it. Am I receiving it? Would y'all put? Yeah.
If I wasn't so self-centered.
Okay.
If I surrendered every morning, like first thing every morning, just woke up and surrendered to him and sought him above everything else.
Yeah. Okay. Ask him.
Might I know this is wrong? Like,
no, there's no wrong.
But I'm going to tell you, like, I love moving in successful partnership where the outcome is like what I wanted. You know what I mean? I want to move in partnership with him, not just be a part of what he's doing, but that part of what he's doing has to have the plan, the outcome, the way it should be.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say? That
it is
bad, but it's
all right.
True.
No. Because it is.
Yeah.
The outcome that you want is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, Julie.
Look.
No. Wait. That's the key. It doesn't look. Help me see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What? Because if it's the outcome that I want, please help me understand what that actually means. Please help me receive what that is. What's on the other side of that I think is going to make me okay? Please start peeling back. These are like onions. Like, you get it and you're like, okay, that's real. All right. Please peel back the layers. Thank you so much that you do it tenderly, unlike me, who would take a knife and be like, you know, like that. He doesn't do that. And so ask him, because the outcome you want is absolutely what you're getting. And that is, I mean, the essence of core human needs, known to be loved and to be seen. Pretty much everything falls into those categories. Every fear can be answered by him. Okay. And what's so cool, help me receive those things, help me believe those things, help me see that, help me see you. That's where you walk in wholeness. And so you can walk next to these things that are scary, that are insufficient, expectations, assumptions. I think that's, I mean, like saying this, thank you for bringing it. Okay. Whenever we're talking, it's for me as much, you know what I mean? So assumptions. I know as I back it on up, I've been hit of late by assumptions that ripped my heart, because I was like, wow, that's what you're assuming about me. It's so off. And then I'm like believing what the assumption, and then it gets all muddled. If I'm walking in the wholeness of the beauty and the essence of the truth that I have seen and I am known and I am loved, it answers all those assumptions. They don't say anything about me, because only one person says anything about me. And if I'm hearing that, I can walk next to any of it. I can walk next to expectations and let them be, you know, unmet, because expectations always are. It's a small problem with expectations, sort of like enough, good luck, you'll never get there. It doesn't end. There's never, it's a duper. The doing in order to be, yeah, good luck with that. It never happens, because you already are, whatever it is.
On the elementary level.
I thought you cut your hair for a second. I was like, it's so cute. Okay.
On the elementary side, Julie, I'm like, you know, when you're blessed to hear or feel the nudging of God, it feels like the nudge. You know,
yeah.
Like what I said, since elementary, is if I could almost freeze. Like, you know when you get your toddler and you touch their face? I don't need to feel the physical touch, but I'm like, if there could be that moment where, you know what I'm saying, like he just freezes you, or you have a sensation that's so definitive that you go, yep, that was him, you know what I'm saying, or that was the Holy Spirit versus the gentle nudge. I'm like, that's what it would make it. I know he speaks to me, and I mean, there are times that I can feel, but I'm like, it would seem more real if every time almost you just froze. I don't know.
Okay.
I know elementary. I know. No. It's not how it works. But
no. What are you talking about? He does it. He did it to me on the walk with that dinky heart. Yeah. He does it every day, all day, every day. Just like I'm just in the same way. I remember Jenny Capehart, I loved MOPS, and she was a kind of an educator. Mm-hmm. And she said, the way your children hear you is not by you yelling at them. She said, get down on their level and talk. And if you can, hold their face, but more than anything, talk in a whisper. Don't you remember that E.F. Hutton? Mm-hmm. If you people,
yes.
What was it? Something yeah. like, if you want to say something yeah. important or something, whisper. And everybody turns. Well, how does he speak to Elijah? Okay. Who had obeyed? His tank was empty. He had performed everything the Lord had told him to in front of the Baals. He was being chased after by one of the ruthless rulers of, in history to kill him. Blanketly, I'm coming to kill you. And he goes into the desert. He has nothing. He lays down. The ravens come and bait for him, which is laughable. Right. Really? What? Okay, here's the deal. God does not change. I don't know what desert you're in. Look for the food because he is cooking for you. All right? And then he goes into the mountain to hear him. A storm comes. Is the Lord in the storm? No. An earthquake comes. Is the Lord speaking to that? He goes out, and what is it? A still, small whisper. He knows. I have chills. Are you kidding? He was whispering to me all last night, just with those like, because the whole thing is, it's that unsettledness. That is the, listen to me. Look at me. Hey, I'm right here. And so, you've sat in his word. I've sat with you in his word for a long time. And to be able to fill in the blank when you said, I need to hear your voice. And he start peeling your name, Shalom. What does Shalom mean? Yeshua, his words that are spoken to these people. Jehovah, my helper. As he says to you, beloved. As he says to you, beloved of my soul. As he says to you, my dear child, as he says to you, I see you, I know you, I call you by name. As he says to you, you are honored in my sight. As he says to you, I love you. Oh, my love is steadfast love. There's no beginning and no end. And there's no one that can do that but I am. And guess what? Jehovah, the breathing, when you can't feel it, breathe. And please, that whoever sent this to me, I think it was Nancy. I can't remember who sent me the beautiful passage that I think she was an Episcopal like minister about Yahweh, YHWH. It's breathing. I did it the other night. I did it last night, breathing deeply, because I know from all of my experience in the trauma world that breathing's your friend. It is the friend. Breathe. So when it feels like that, breathe and be reminded. Because his whisper is in you. It's like this. It's like Tom Cruise. With me, without me. Yes, without me. So, yes, that I might not be so self-centered. Thank you. Yes, that I might be able to hear him. Yes, Julie, that I will sit there in the essence of all that I want, every bit of it. You are a daughter of the King. You're a daughter of the King. And it's the King that's over every king. You're standing on the balcony of Buckingham Palace that's not a palace of this planet. Okay? Dare we receive that? The great thing is that I can't. Neither can you. He helps you when you're up here. Okay? Have you ever wished or even prayed that God would show himself to you? Why or why not? Why not? Can we be honest? Yeah.
Just to combat the doubt. Because I don't want to have to rely on faith and hope. I just want to see.
Isn't it the truth? I want to see. That's so good. And it's the truth. Somehow we feel safer if we see. And it's like, actually, no. But wow. I think we're afraid we're going to be Job. I don't want to say I want to know you because I know what's coming. Please let that go. That's our wisdom. That's the world's wisdom. What else? Why would you ask him to show himself to you? It's pretty terrific. It's the best thing you'll ever do. Every morning, when you wake up in the morning, please show me who you are. And he will show you in scripture. He'll show you in prayer. He'll show you in a walk with your dog when you're sitting there going, I'm not okay. And that's hilarious. He'll show you in nature. I saw bees yesterday, and I was like, isn't that interesting? Those cute little bees. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. And I was like, gosh, we do that when we're together. We sort of spread a little pollen on each other, going, hey, I see you. Okay. We will read now. So, yeah, we're doing great. Anything else on this? So, who would like to read John 13 through 17? These are Jesus' words on the night he ate the Last Supper with his disciples. Okay? And you really can put yourself here in every part. This is Psalm 23 in so many ways. Thanks, Carla.
Okay. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, you don't know where you're going, so how can you know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. You do know him and have seen him. Sorry. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves.
Okay, thank you so much. There's so much in here. There's just so much. Even beginning with the first sentence, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Okay? And even in that, help me in my unbelief. If my heart is troubled, I'm believing something that's not actually true. And how cool is it that he's calling that out just at the beginning? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Where are they sitting? They're sitting in a place where something not so great's about to come on the other side. Okay? And the person is sitting with them that's about to go turn Jesus over to them. Okay? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And this beautiful promise, my Father has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I would have told you that. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back. And so you have all these things that he's saying to them that is the truth. Okay? And, okay, so the disciples, yeah,
that's a question,
please.
It says, on first read, it says, and if I go, why does it say if? And if I go and prepare a place for you, what if?
I think that he is saying these things in part to meet them where they are.
Okay.
And there's a logical progression because scripture is amazing this way. So when you hit that and you pause, go, tell me how to read that, because he will show you. Because I can read it as, well, if this happens, Is that true? Because it's, we already know that he knows what's happening. We already know he's committed to what's happening. We already know what's going to happen because we'll read about it in Isaiah 20, in the whatever. You, it's in the 40s, 20s, 30s. You actually have what's happening on the cross. You can look at Psalm 22, and you get to see the cross playing out before it's ever happened. And so we know what he is here to do. We know what's coming, and he does too. So if this happens, can't be accurate. So stop on those things and ask him. And if it's still a head bender, let it sit. Because the best way to engage with scripture is him teaching you. Like, because even in this passage, there's a load you've heard a lot. And so when you come to something you've heard a lot, back out and go, whatever my experience with this passage is, I'm going to put it over here on the table and I'm going to let it sit there for a bit. And so please show me what I need to know out of this. Show me who you are. Yeah, Michelle.
If then, I'm preparing the songs for you,
which is different than if this happens. And that's where you go, oh, okay? Because he's presenting them with a statement that they get to think through. Because they're going to go, if this, then that. Okay? And these people that are here are actually going to see him come back. So, which will put even more like what he says is true, little tools in their backpack, because these are the guys that are going to be going. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Michelle.
Yes.
So when you get that pause stop, it's got to be consistent. He can't be counter to himself. All right. So, and he's putting nugget, because these guys, as Paul, who's going to come later, these guys have been soaked in, some of them, okay, the disciples are the ones that have been around all the religious people. Some of them have been in, some of them haven't. You also have a tax collector there who's out. Like, he's been shunned, he's been, you know, because he did bad things. And so it's like, I'm out. They have in their path all these people that are out, they're terrible, they're sinners, throw the first, you know, stone. And so you've got all this going on, which is this religious language that if you do this, then you get. Sort of like, I want to see the outcome. Okay? It's outcome driven. And what's happening here is messing everything up. Because this isn't the way it's supposed to happen. He's supposed to come and reign. And this doesn't look like that. This looks like a criminal being taken. Okay, this doesn't look like, for the religious people, how could you be our savior with these people around you? Okay, and then he drops this bomb where he says, I am the way. So the way is not a path. The way is not doing. The way is a person, which changes things quite a bit. For me today, all right, because everything in this world's wisdom is do in order to be. Everything. It just is. And it's just like it's so cool. It's like a little stumbling block. Because you do, and then you aren't. And it's like, what happened here? I was duped. It was a bill of goods. Or you do, and you are, and you're like, wow, that wasn't as satisfying. I guess I need more. All right? So the only satisfaction is the way that's the person. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Okay, and that's the key to the whole, it's like, here's the key to the whole story, to the whole thing. And it's right here, so that we can too bump into it and go, oh, I keep thinking it's what I do. Oh, I keep thinking it's how I'm supposed to be. Oh, if only I could, you know, blah, blah, blah. If only I could have. If only I could be. If only my kids were blah. If only da, 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 da. We were talking this morning about how my road is nothing like I would have thought. Like, it's just everything very counter to I like what's paved it. I didn't even know was something. And I sit in a place going, wow, this doesn't look like how it was supposed to look with all the, I mean, and it's not even like wanting anything excessive. Just doesn't look, does not look okay. And how do you walk on that road? You can't unless it's the way. And then you let all the stuff fall off and you hone in on the reality of the truth, the life, the light. And you let that be. And then you can breathe and have joy. I feel so much better after my walk today. Like, you are a human being. Do things to help you as a human being. Walk, eat, drink water. You know, do the care for yourself so that you can receive it. Because that's one of the, you know, it's just a key. It's part as a person, which is where he's doing this at a table. Okay? All right.
Okay, then yeah. Acceptance also. Things
are gosh, different. Yes, you know that. I don't know if you've ever looked at the Serenity Prayer. It is written by, it was written centuries ago. The 12-step program picked up the Serenity Prayer, but only took a portion of it because they couldn't add all of it because they were very cognizant at that period that I don't know. They decided not to because they're parts of people not being able to hear with God's name in it. It makes it hard for them to hear. So they very gently did what they thought they were supposed to do and stopped. And I helped me to accept the things that I cannot change. And yes, we'll go to the end. Maybe I'll put that on there because it's amazing. Because it's in that acceptance of God, his provision, the enormity of it, which the end of the prayer speaks of, that you can sit in these places of toil and have joy.
Well, it says that in acceptance for all as Jesus would have it.
Yep.
If they didn't add that.
They did not add that. Yeah. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, I don't have to see it. I'm going to accept it because what I'm accepting is the one who is the way. And then you breathe. Mm-hmm. And you grieve. And you breathe. Mm-hmm. And somehow joy is in the middle of all of that. Because the chaos isn't winning anymore. Well, that's a good thing. Then you can walk next to her. You can even walk next to her people. Mm-hmm. Okay? So good. All right. So question one. The disciples must have felt confused and anxious when Jesus announced that he was going away. What reassurances did he offer them for the future? And there's a lot in this. Anybody? You know, I like talking, so I'll keep going if nobody wants to share. Okay. He's prepared a place. He's coming back. What else? Anybody?
He's the way.
He is the way. Say that again. He's going to take them with him, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And his name is Emmanuel, which means that he's with them even in this moment, all of the moments. What else?
That they would know the Father.
Okay, what an amazing statement, that they would know the Father. What's one of the questions they ask? Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Do you not love these guys? I wrote, hello. I mean, it's just so great. I love it. Lord, we don't know where we are going. So how can we know the way? And it's so, what a great question. Because then he says, it's not a direction. I'm it. Okay? And BTW, you know him. Yeah. It's so good. What else? I think those have that. Anybody else? How has Jesus changed the way that human beings can relate to God? That's, I mean, really, we would write that down. What did you put?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. It's personal.
Fellowship with the Father.
Fellowship with the Father, which means together, okay? Together. That It's together, which goes to the intimacy, which goes to the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's together. Okay? It is a headbender. Okay? He is with you. He's in you. He sees you. He knows you. This is not transactional. I think it really changes from transaction, which we so love the transaction. I want it to be. Okay. It's laughable. Apart as a human being, we want it to be transactional because we have this fun obsession with control. But this changes from transactional to relationship, to the relationship that he does both sides. And this isn't new. He did it with Abraham in the covenant at the very get-go. He took both sides. Abraham didn't have to do anything. God did all of it. And it's the same for us. It's hard to believe. So it's like, could this be true? You see, it's true. That's the great thing about this book. It's the same story the whole way through. It's the same story. Every word of it is, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hey, by the way, I love you. I see you. Gideon, mighty warrior. I'm not a warrior. Yes, you are, because I made you a warrior. Kay, you know, Michelle, Carla. It's like, fill in the blank, because he sees you, he knows you, you're his, you're his beloved. He made you, he purposed it within you, something that you don't believe about yourself. And he does it. He shows up both sides. Not only does he give you the purpose, he's provided everything for the purpose. It's like going on the cooking show and you open your basket of like some amazing meal and you don't even have to know how to cook it because he's already cooked it for you. He's got, you know, it's amazing. And it's beyond our imagination. And that's what he's done through this amazing gift that transcends time, that this salvation touches Abraham in the exact same way it touches me. How is that possible? It's the same. Yeah, Michelle.
It's so amazing how it just changed from like Old Testament. The Spirit of God was only on a few people. Okay.
As far as we.
The door that the Spirit is with all of us. The Spirit is walking with us. It's unbelievable that he changed that. That he is the Holy Spirit and lives within us. And the fact that we can have forgiveness of sins every day. Those guys were doing like once a year going to offer the sacrifice for the sins of all the people. You don't have to carry guilt and shame because you can be forgiven today. Today, you don't have to, you can accept that forgiveness and be set free from any guilt and shame. It loves you so much. Walk in peace
and live in wholeness. Which they got to, the Old Testament looked forward and we look back. Because what's so interesting is that it fulfilled it more than it changed it. Okay? And I think that's going to be a fun conversation with the Father. Because I Am did this, it touched them as much as it touches us.
It's almost like he knew we just can't do it on our own. You know,
he did it in the Old Testament like, too.
Yeah, can't do it.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So I'm gonna help do it. It's gonna be loving others through you, loving others.
It's always been that. It has always been his power. It has always been his opening people's eyes. It has always been his strength. It never has not been that. And that's the enormity of this Father that doesn't have linear time. We have linear time. He does not. And the cross covers everyone from all time.
Yeah.
And that's it's a headbender because we do the same thing. We do the same sacrifices. They don't look like they're in a temple anymore. We do the same transactional things. We're all taught that. We love it. We're taught it from the Old Testament, and we bring it into today. And he's covered all of it. It can't not cover all of it. It's fascinating. It really is. And it's like, help me receive your spirit. Help me receive what you have. Enlighten me to be able to live. And we look at Old Testament characters. Job is a great example. We don't even know, except we know he was at the very beginning. We don't know, like, necessarily the exact day and time that he lived, like we do so many of the Old Testament characters, due to the amazing lineages that are throughout those periods, to be able to see who was alive when. And we get to see this man who is righteous. The Lord said, there is no one on earth as righteous as he. Well, that's a big word. And he actually allowed Job to enter into that righteousness in fullness, rather than him continue to feel like he had to make the sacrifice. It's fascinating. The Lord showed him himself and set him free from himself. Set him free of himself and his actions being his righteousness. See, also me. It's fascinating. Could it be that amazing? I don't know. We're going to have a blast in heaven being like, what? How old? Gosh, I met a neighbor just this weekend. She lives on the corner, and I met her because my neighbor behind was telling me about her, and I just stopped. She was doing her garden. And I was like, Phil, what's your name? I'm little there. Blah, 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 blah. Where are you from? I'm Wichita Falls. Do you know Pam Midget? Oh, my gosh, do I know Pam Midget? Because this is what you do. I mean, I've known Pam since I was a kid. Well, she was Pam's roommate in college. What? And I was like, this is what heaven's going to be like. We're going to be sitting next to somebody and be like, I sat on you at this table. Oh my gosh, you know, the whole time, and just be basking in the glory and the goodness and the enormity with people that looked ahead and with us who looked behind. It's the enormity of it. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's that big. I don't know how I can't. It's like, why do we limit this stuff? Even this, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back for you. Well, then we'll wait. No, it's today. The enormity of all he's promising you is today. It's today. May it be on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, it's today. You get to live it. Even though when you're in it, you'll get to see it in a way that you don't see it now. And we'll get to live in the fullness and the wholeness of these things. But you get to live in the fullness and the wholeness today without seeing. Okay. All of these promises. He goes in and prepares a place for you, your own room. Everything, when you show up in that hotel room, it's not a hotel room, it's your home. Everything you love will be sitting there for you. Everything. What is it that you love? What is it that you want? What is it that you, just like the extravagance, it's yours today. Let's live in it. Yeah, because Michelle, that stuff is amazing. The freedom, the wholeness, shalom is completeness. And when you feel that, like, unsettled, I'm believing something that I'm not, like, there's something that's not there. Or so, you know, go to the one who says it's me. And he'll slowly and beautifully and gently reveal himself to you and prune away the things that are stealing from you, which FYI, you would like them pruned away, even though you don't want them pruned away. It's sort of like a haircut, except sometimes it may be like getting out a hangnail, which may be not as pleasant as a haircut. But you know what I mean? You feel better. It's a thorn in your foot. He was getting out something out of me a month ago, probably. And I couldn't believe how deeply it was inside of me. Not some mystery. It was some interaction I had with a family member that I couldn't believe, again, set me so low, so fast, where I exited just doing smart things and started doing stupid things because I believed whatever that funky weirdness that went on in this relationship. And I couldn't believe how quick it happened. And I know better. And I worked years on not engaging with that. And I was like, wow, I did not know that that could hit me so deeply. Thank you so much. Because I was believing something that wasn't true. And that's not my business. And to be able to go, that's not my business. I love you, but I am not receiving any more of that. Okay? And that's deep old stuff. Because we've all, we're a flesh wound away from our Jesus guy or even 4-year-old self, you know? How has, at least I am, I'm sorry, it's the truth. I'm embarrassed, but it's true. I can't even believe it. I really was like, I know better. Wow, sir, I must really think that to be true. How has Jesus changed the way, okay, we've already done that one. Reflect on Jesus' remarkable statements in verses 6-7. Why is he the only person who can truthfully make these claims about himself? And the claims are, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life.
Because he's God.
He's God. He knows. And he's worth listening to. Jesus, and, yeah.
You were saying, I can't believe our Shana. We're perfect.
I know, Kali. It's so
true. It's just like, it's okay. I'm going to always be.
Isn't that the truth? There's a lot of freedom in that, isn't it? And you're safe.
Yeah.
I'm safe. And it's for us that he invites us into those things.
And we're all about it.
Oh, isn't it the truth? That's the beauty, I think, of meeting together, because you might believe you're the only one. And it's like, yeah, yes, we're all there. And there's something nice about that. It's like an invitation to be able to lean into those things, and that it'd be okay to lean into those things so that you can be set free from those things.
And Katie used to say, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Kind of the same thing.
Yes. 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 And mercy and kindness. I don't know why we're so hard on ourselves. That we're the least kind to ourselves. Jesus is not simply one way to see the Father. He is the full and final revelation of the Father. There is no other way to see the Father clearly and directly than through Jesus. This is not only true for the disciples, it is and always will be true for us as well. This is one reason why there is no other way to the Father apart from Jesus. After Jesus said that the disciples had seen the Father, Philip still asked the Father, what if Philip failed to grasp about the relationship of the Father and the Son? And please don't see what Philip did, just like what you were saying to me right then. It's not a fail. He didn't fail. He couldn't see, all right? Some of it hasn't been fully revealed to you yet, okay? It had not been fully revealed to them. I don't know about you, but may my mind and my eyes and my ears be open to you always and opened by you. Anything else on that question? And then would somebody like to read the next passage?
I'm just kind of thinking this out a little bit and sprinting up these times, but like, I put myself in his shoes, and for I don't know how many thousands of years before old Philip came in the scene, holiness was like this ethereal, untouchable, make sure you have all the ducks in a row, don't touch the ark if it's moving past you, might lose your head.
Yeah.
And then, like, flopping that on its head to realize that holiness is like mercy, compassion, loosing people from Satan, laying down your life for your friends. Like, that's a pretty different image. And so it's like, if I've walked around all my life thinking, like, God is so holy, it's so this, I might want to see something more than, like, oh, good, he's free from our demon. Or, you know, where he's lifted, you know, when she was crippled and now she can walk. I don't know. It might be a hard thing for me to realize, too.
Oh, it's hard for us every day. That's the beauty of these disciples. They say what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I mean, I have to tell you, my sweet husband has said this, if I could just hear him, if I could just see him, then. It was the people that came up to Jesus, even the rich ruler, or, you know, or any of them. If you just do this, then, okay? And that's when I'm putting myself ahead, first of all. But what you said about the Holy of Holies is so fascinating, or just the holiness of God, because the enormity of what is going on here is so, so significant. Because even in like the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, what was, I mean, it was the mercy seat was that was there. And mercies, I mean, they didn't even know what that was. It's very hard to understand, which is where they're walking with mercy.
Yeah.
Okay? And they still can't understand. And it is truly unfathomable what occurred when the veil was torn. Okay? Yeah, Julie.
Well, I was just wondering if he just was having a hard time grasping, you know, the Trinity, because that's
we
so
do.
Hard. But he's, you know, he's saying, when you see me, you see the Father, but then which makes him sound like they're the same, but then he's saying, but I do what the Father tells me, which is separate. And so to me, that's what, like, I thought he was having a hard time grasping, because it is hard to understand.
Oh,
but now
yes.
That we, you know, we've been taught, we have the full scripture, but I think
we still grapple
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
It's truly, you can't go there. I mean, how many times have you seen an egg and it's like, look like an egg or whatever? I don't know. I don't know. I know that we're created in his image. And I know that I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and I can touch my body and I could touch Sherry's arm and I would feel it. All right. Which is her human body that's here. I also know that there is a part of you that we cannot see. Is you're nodding. There's something happening in the soul. And it's a part of us, but yet I can't touch it. And it will live forever and we will have heavenly bodies. We know that true because when he comes back, it is a body that is it's recognizable. Even then it has such mysterious aspects about it because it's recognizable and it's not. And I don't get that. it's like, I don't know, except there's something in that we are created in his image. And it's like total mind blower. The Holy of Holies is inside of you.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting. It would be so helpful if you would have told them it's three persons and one God, which they would have probably not understood that anyway.
There you go again. It would have been helpful if he is telling them that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is telling them that because even there, you can say it's three persons and one God. Really? I mean, it's still like, where do we put that? We want to put it in this and go, oh, okay. We will never, ever, 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 ever be able to do that because he's endless. He is unsearchable. However, he says, come to me and I will teach you unsearchable things, which is what he's doing right here. He's engaging into this gentle on-ramp into unsearchable things because he knows the if then, like it's this is happening, and he's inviting them into this conversation that's going to change, because it's so much bigger, and there are things that you cannot comprehend in your mind.
Is it wrong to think like the Father's the planner, the Holy Spirit's like the electricity, and Jesus is walking over there to flip the switch? I mean, I've heard like trying to explain.
That's where it's like
they have different roles, but they're all one, but they have different.
Well, I don't know. I know that they were at creation together.
It's really interesting because of the authority of the Father, and you can make it more confusing. But then he's like, okay, all of this he's telling them, and then the little comma, what do you call it, where it's a dot and a comma?
Semicolon.
And a semicolon. Or at least leave the evidence of all the works, of all of the miracles. Like, you can't grasp any of this. Okay, just believe in me on all the miracles that I'm making. A blind man see, a dead man, you know, come back alive.
Well, that he puts that in because that's what we want.
Yeah,
we want the evidence, okay?
Right.
And he's gently saying to them, I know you can't grasp this,
yeah.
Okay?
So
I know that. But I have given you this so that you might know.
Yeah.
Because he knows us.
Yeah.
And he's not like, oh, shame, shame, believe in me, you idiots. You know, you should have. Oh, Philip, Philip, Philip. He is so not doing that. Although our first tendency is to hear it like, what? Like, I've been among you for such a long time.
Yeah.
That is not the tone of this.
I think it's so interesting because the Old Testament, I think everybody's thinking Father, right? Father God, right? But then you see Jesus show up.
In the
Old
Testament.
Places, yes. Like with Jacob and the ladder wrestling, you know, with them.
Well, you see God show up all in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And FYI, it's the same language.
Yeah.
That, I mean, one of the most fun things of reading the Old Testament is you see it all going, oh, this is exactly what you said. He says steadfast love more than Jesus does. Okay. The tenderness of God is so evident and prolific that you go, I had no idea. Because we tend to we gravitate towards the new. Please go to the old. Please go love it. And if you don't, ask him. Show me who you are. Show me who you are. And when you engage with things, back off what we know to be, how we have declared or described what's happening. And that's why you'll open the scripture and go, I read this yesterday and it's new today.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Yeah. It's endless. Heaven will never be boring. Like, there will never be a boring moment. Not one. And you can be on the tennis court with your friends. And Jen always was like, I'm playing tennis, go find me there. Or whatever. And for Candy, she'll be like having Bubba's, you know, banana pudding every day. That'll be in. I don't know. But it's like the enormity of all of it. It will be endless.
I wonder if I'll be good.
No,
I said, I wonder if I'll be good on the tennis court.
Yes, you will. I will be an excellent singer. And I'll be able to play instruments. And all of it. And we'll have a great sense of humor because he does. It'll be basking in the essence of all that is good. Which, even when he said to Moses, like, I'll put you in the cleft, I love that the thing that passed before him was goodness. That's God, the Father, the essence, and Jesus, because it's one. It's one. And all authority is the same. Every single thing is by him, through him, and for him. And the power is his spirit that is the essence of his being. And so the words we use to try to put something, it's like revelation is so like, extravagant, like it's like to the nth degree someone trying to put words on something that is unfathomable.
Yes, human words,
right? And that's what's happening here. This gentle on-ramp, I'm explaining this to you because you need to have it explained so that you can live here. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm in you. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I am a person. I'm going to tell you what you need to know, and this is the clincher. My blood has transactionally taken care of everything that is amiss. Every single thing that is not alive, I've taken care of. And blood's an amazing thing. You cannot see through it. Okay? And good luck getting it off.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It cries out for you all day, every day, and Jesus is not standing. He's seated, all right? And it's like, this is who I am. Everything on heaven and earth obeys me. Everything, breathe. Look at me. I love you. I want you to know me. I'm going to let my goodness pass before you. You know, let it live. Receive. There are bad things that are going to happen on this planet. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. You can try and figure it out. Just spend your whole life trying to figure it out. You can't figure me out. And you really want that. We want that.
You have to give up on control.
Absolutely. And lean in and receive. And he says, there's toil in this world, and we know it. He's toiled today. And he said, my gift to you is joy.
Accept.
Yeah, please. And even there, you can't. I'll do it for you. Okay? It's so beautiful. All right? It's just so good. I'm going to read 16 because it has a lot of good stuff in it, too. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And he knows. These are quotation marks. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. You know what? It's true. They were sad. They love him. They love him, but they also, their thoughts had him as the ruler, and it's not happening like what they thought it was going to happen, which is actually a gift to them because it's exiting their wisdom out. Okay, so they're sad. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And this is where I wrote here, he is holy. He is holy, alive. We can only live in a holy place. Okay, we can only live in a holy place. We have been made holy by Christ because he's allowing us to live in the Holy of Holies because he has made us holy, and he can only reside in a holy place as he dwells in us because he made us holy. Unless I go, and that's the key, I'm with you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people don't believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can't see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can bear, right? There's the kindness and the gentleness you cannot live. I'm going to put you in the cleft. I'm going to cover you, and I'm going to tell you these things. I'm going to let my goodness pass before you, oh, and live in you. And I can only tell you certain things because you can't bear it. See also Moses. He couldn't bear it. But as he was told, as he spent time, he comes down glowing because the presence of the Lord is exuding from him, okay? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth because he is truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Okay? So, that's a headbender. All right. What further assurances did Jesus offer to his grieving disciples in verses 5 through 7?
It's for our good.
It's for our good.
One of my favorite things is that he does know when we're grieving and he knows what we can bear. So when he says, you can't handle this, it made me think, okay, so if I'm dealing with something, it's because he thinks I can bear it. Because he's
in the street. And that's where it's, again, it's like here, and you're right. And so there, it's like, just stay in the lane. Just look at me, because if it's something icky or whatever or heavy, it's like, okay, help me not to rest in my strength. Help me to learn about you, which is really a pretty cool thing, because that too is like very hard to explain. How are you functioning in his strength? What does that even mean? Well, you get to experience it. Okay, so that's one thing. Or if it's something you want that's not coming, it's like, I will be patient. Please let the no be as good as the yes. Because it is. Because it's not about no. It's not about no, shame on you. Yes, good person. It's about no, it's not time. Or yes, I've got me. So good. Okay, so it's for our good. That's a hard one to swallow. Unless it's from him, and then it's swallowable. Me saying that to my child, this is for your good, that's, I wouldn't believe it either. You know, it's because I'm tired. It's not that way with God. The Holy Spirit proves the world wrong in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In your own words, and this, I hope that a couple of y'all did this because it was worth thinking about, but it's hard.
This is hard.
It's very hard. Okay.
What is the answer to this?
Well, okay, I'm going to share what he showed me, but I also am going to ask you to please go linger in this one again for yourself. And if you need to, table it and go back. Any of these things, just go, because this is hard, but we know it's true because it's a colon. After he says these things, he says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Okay? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. We have a lot to say about that, and so does the evil one. We saw him, even as he tempted Jesus, say a lot about this stuff. And the methods are unremarkable. But what and his the, what he does, it's not remarkable, okay? It's a game to get you off your game. And your game is living in wholeness because it's been given to you. So we see about sin because people do not believe in me. Let's take it back to the garden. Did they believe him? That was the essence of it all. You had someone standing in front of them saying, do you see that tree over there? He's withholding it from you. He has something you don't have. And he's not going to give it to you. Which is a lovely tool called comparison. It's a beaut. We love it. We play with it all day, every day. There's something. I don't have it. He's withholding something from me. I can't trust him. And that was the game played there. You can't trust him. The key was he got their eyes on themselves instead of their eyes on him. Because he did tell them to eat those things. Did they trust him? No, they're trusting themselves. And that's the essence of this, all right? Because he says about sin, because people don't believe me. I don't believe you. I'm grabbing for something else because I don't believe you. All right?
I was like Noah too, like how all the people in Noah's day, they just did not believe. The same with the garden.
Yes.
So, like, putting those images of the garden for another day, I thought that.
We want a king. We want a king. Why? And then they say it out loud. We want to be like everybody else. I mean, it's laughable, okay? And so it's like that's the first thing that he is going to prove the world wrong. That is not accurate, okay? So every time, and the way he does that is unsettledness. Like he's going to bump you up against it. It's not going to give you what it promised. It's not going to give you enough. It's not going to do any of that stuff. It will leave you flat. He won't leave you flat. Believe. Help me in my unbelief. Okay, so that's one proving wrong. The second proving wrong is the world's, okay, is right. Okay, so the second thing about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. The world's belief that righteousness is a result of action and outcomes that are seen. He's setting that right. Because he's clothed you in righteousness. And he's seated. We don't have to, he's clothed you that way. We can put stuff on over it no matter what. Or help me to wear the clothes and settle in the righteousness that you've declared over me. Okay? So it's not about the outcome seen. It's not about the right way that I, you know, do this in order to be. It's about be because you are. It's like it changes the if-then statement. If you do this, then you're okay. It's because you are okay, then go. Okay? Because he's taken care of it and he has gone to where he isn't seen. Okay? The third one is about judgment. Because of this the prince of the world now stands condemned. That is so powerful. Oh my gosh. It's so powerful. His forgiveness is okay, so his forgiveness, you may go, oh, it's forgiveness, everything's forgiven. Let me tell you about every single thing that's forgiven. Every single thing is known because this is and this is in a court of law. The words that he uses are things that would have been in a court of law, which means that whatever is amiss has been outed. It's gone in the presence of the judge. It's been looked at every minute detail. It's been talked about. It's been discussed. It's been handled. And it has been taken into the holiness of God. And the blood covers it so that it cries out, this is done. Okay? So that the world now stands condemned. It's done. He's called it out. All of it. I can't tell you how powerful that has been in our life. To not just be looking at, because we're so, we are told over and over and over, your sins, your sins, your sins. And I'm just been given so much peace in the fact that it's all of your sins. Everything that you've done and everything that's been done to you. Every wake that you're in, even the honking person, somebody's impatience, whatever it is, it's been covered. Okay? And me too. And the beautiful thing that Paul said, what shall we go on sinning then? By no means. Who wants to? So much of the things that we do, we sin in order to get something, outcome that we want, or that we think is right, or we're exhausted. I don't know. It all barrels down to something where I'm not believing him. Like, really, pull it back and get to the core and go, oh, I'm believing this instead of you. Okay? And this is what the Holy Spirit reveals to us day in and day out, over and over, every little tiny minutia, so that you can live in the freeness and the wholeness that you have been set free, so that you can receive what Jesus declared every time you walked into a room, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, okay? And this is the on-ramp, and he lives in you to show you these things.
One question too.
Yeah.
Because when I very first read it quickly about the judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned, mm-hmm. because it was the devil who was the prince of the world before Jesus.
He is right now.
Right. And so are they talking about Jesus or are they talking about the devil?
The prince of this world is the one who has ushered in sin.
So they are talking about the devil, because that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's where he's condemned. That's
that are just not a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? I hope you're encouraged by this. It was really encouraging. How does the Holy Spirit make Christ known to us? And how does the scripture passage help you understand the Holy Spirit's unique ministry to you and to the world?
The Holy Spirit, he knows the Father's thoughts, and he communicates those thoughts to us, and he also knows, the Holy Spirit also knows that Christ, and he responds to them.
He knows every single thing. And the Spirit of the Lord is the power that raised from the dead to never die again. Okay? Or whatever you are facing today. Anything. He's all knows all. Loves you. It's for you. Sometimes you'll think, God's not for me. Well, Jesus himself said, this is for you. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? And I don't know, sometimes. Please help it be more and more and more and more. And more and more. And I do really think, and I'm just going to say this from, I know it because I experience it. So I'll testify to the fact that the more you just know him, read the Bible to know him, the more you look around just to know him, boy, does it dial down the things of this world. The good stuff and the very hard stuff, the unspeakable things, as well as the celebrated things.
The next.
And, huh?
The next.
The next. And it really opens your eyes to the people that are next to you. Just every single person. Because people matter. All of this stuff is going to pass away. Except for the people that are next to you. Okay? Really important. You are. So maybe do a little something for yourself today. Anything else?
Just made me think about 2 Corinthians when it says, Now the Lord in the Spirit, and where now the Lord is in the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Lord, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit. Yeshua, we thank you. We ask that you will grow us in knowledge of who you are, that you will do what you do and gently peel our hands away of the things that we hold on to, that you will gravitationally pull us toward you, and that you will help us in being able to live in the freedom for which you have set us free. And we just, it's so good. And so I ask today for each person here, I don't know, but you do, specific places that may be stealing peace, stealing joy, stealing settledness. And we know that it is your peace, that it is the overarching reality. We may not be able to see it with our eyes, and so help us to see it with our hearts. Open our minds, open our ears, open our eyes to be able to see, hear, and receive your truth today. And in that, Father, I pray that you will move each one of us today, just in some small way or big way, to be able to encourage somebody that may need to hear their name, may need to know they're seen, may need to know they're safe, may need to know you're in love. Because we know in any one of those, as we share that with somebody else, you're bringing it home to us. We just thank you for the way that you work, that is just beyond our imagination or comprehension, and yet you invite us into it. Wow. Please go before, as only you can do, in your precious son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was the head gather. Yes. Thanks for joining. Yes. Hope you feel better, Nancy. Good to see you.
Yeah, you're not telling me. Yeah.
I wouldn't even know how to explain it.